Well, hello, hello, guys. You're listening to Beauty Bites with Dr. K, Secrets of a Plastic Surgeon, and we are going to learn about nutrition today. I am so excited to interview Lisa Moskovitz. She's the CEO of New York Nutrition Group, it founded in 2013, and the author of the Core 3 Healthy Eating Plan. And this is a great solution to healthy, happy eating. Welcome, Lisa. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, tell me a little bit about your background. How'd you get into nutrition and diet science?
Yeah. So for me, I like to say that this field kind of chose me. Of course, I always had a passion for food and being healthy and science. That was one of my more, I would say not the most favorite, but I preferred that over other subjects in school. It was just always fascinating and interesting to me. And I always loved how nutrition really combines a lot of almost like your right and your left brain. It combines creativity with also a lot of facts and science and things that can be black and white, but aren't necessarily so, because we know nutrition is never black and white. But I really loved it so much. Food is the one thing that brings everybody together, no matter who you are, where you are, what you're doing. You need food to live. You need food every single day for the rest of your life. So it's levels the playing field. It connects people. Everybody needs to eat food, period, point blank, and every single day. And I definitely would say that I got into it more because, like many people, especially as a teenager, I did struggle with body image issues. There were times that I definitely overthought food and put way too much energy and time into perfecting what I was eating. It was never an eating disorder per se, but looking back, I would tell clients who came to me with similar behaviors that we need to lighten it up a little bit, and that there is no such thing as a perfect diet, and that you don't have to eat perfectly and super quote unquote clean to be healthy. And in fact, doing that can cause more and create more stress around food, which could diminish and minimize the health benefits of eating healthy. If you're so stressed about what you're eating, it almost defeats the purpose of eating healthy because our body detects that stress and it can wreak havoc on other parts of our body and spread out to our mental health and even our physical health.
That's so true. It's interesting. I was reading that you consider yourself a diet neutral dietitian.
Yes.
So you believe that it's not all about weight loss necessarily, and weight loss diets may not be right for anyone, actually. So tell me about that. There's this idea of a diet neutral.
Oh yeah, it's such a polarizing time in nutrition fields. We have the anti-diet advocates and dietitians who are strictly anti-diet. And that's fine because there are a lot of people out there that really benefit from following anti-diet professionals and accounts on social media, because there's so much diet noise still out there today and it's never going to end. I really don't think it's ever going to end. And so for them, it really helps to keep them in this healthier mindset. It helps to neutralize the diet noise. But then there's a lot of people who really benefit from following some kind of structured plan. And it can be healthy as long as it's not too rigid, as long as it's not too restrictive, as long as there's some degree of personalization and respecting bioindividuality, it can be very beneficial. So, what I like to say is that I'm more client-centered and patient-centered versus diet-centered. I don't have an agenda. I don't go in and say, I believe that all diets are wrong, or I believe nobody should intentionally try to lose weight. And by the way, you could be anti diet, but not necessarily anti weight loss, technically, or at least that's how some people position themselves, is I'm just anti diet, not anti weight loss, which I think is also kind of confusing and doesn't always make sense to me specifically. But when I say diet neutral, I'm meaning that I mean that there are people, especially when I'm working one-on-one with clients, that really we can't really focus on weight loss and diet right now. We can't. We have to focus more on learning about your body, because I always say like listening to your body is great, but that's like no one can listen to their body all the time. Who can listen to their body every single second of the day? Our body is going to ask for food every 2 to 5 hours, depending, and nobody has that capacity and the bandwidth to do that. But learning about your body is a whole other thing. We can always be trying to learn about what are our hunger cues? What are our fullness cues? What is our body telling us right now? Do they want food or is it something else that you need? Am I good? Can I walk away from this meal? Am I satisfied? Or do I still need a little bit more food to get there, to get to comfortable fullness? So there's all of these things that we could be learning about. And for some people, that really has to be the main focus. And for other people, they also, it helps to focus on that, but we can go into more of structured plans that center around weight loss. We can talk about this, loop the scale in, look at some numbers. We could even go into calorie counting. So I believe in the importance of understanding both sides, understanding the benefits of anti-diet, the prevalence of disordered eating and eating disorders, and making sure as dietitians, we are properly screening our patients before we give them a weight loss plan. But I don't think that there's one side that works best. I just, that's not even scientific.
What is this core three eating plan? What are the three core things that we need?
Yes. So the book is, so three, it comes up a lot in the book. In fact, it's a theme. It's a reoccurring theme. There's a reason that I have that number in there. And it really started off by helping to simplify nutrition because it is so confusing, very convoluted, but very confusing, difficult to navigate, overwhelming. So it's supposed to really simplify things. And it goes down to your plate. When you're making yourself a balanced plate, you want to try to add in and focus on what to add in versus what to take out. So focus on adding in high fiber carbs, lean proteins, and anti-inflammatory fats. And then the rest, the foundation, is your non-starchy vegetables. We can kind of group that into the fiber-rich carbs, but I put that separate in the book so people understand what they are. But those three components are so important because without one of them, it's so easy to not feel full and satisfied, to have more cravings, to notice more erratic, irregular blood sugar levels, to become deficient in a certain macro or macro specifically, because carbs, proteins, and fats are macros, but even micronutrients like B vitamins, magnesium, vitamin D, iron, selenium, all those things that we know are so important. So that's like at the core of the plan. It started off by just helping people understand you need those three. And then the foundational plan is that you start off with three servings of carbs, three servings of protein, three servings of fats per day, but you increase it based on your specific body's demands. And I have a formula in the book that will help you determine how many servings of each your body needs. And it's based off a few different factors. And it could also be tailored based on your goals, based on your activity level, based on your history. So there's this kind of not so secret, but I like to call it a secret formula inside the book so that people can really get something that's more personalized, which we know is a big problem. When you pick up a book or a diet plan or anything, it usually, not all the time, but it's usually this one size fits all, like someone who's 300 pounds and super active, maybe full of muscle, maybe full of fat, who knows, and a petite female who's 120 pounds that wants to lose 5 pounds is getting the same exact plan. It doesn't make any sense. Wow. So this is something that's supposed to be as personalized as it can be without meeting one-on-one, which I always think is the best thing to do, but not everybody has access to that, resources, finances, to get that individualized attention. So I was trying to give people the benefit of meeting with a dietitian inside a book that they can have and keep as a guide. It's not like a page turner you're going to read on the beach in a day. It's something that it's going to take time to digest, absorb, you'll go back. It's more of like a reference guide that also hopefully gives people skills and teaches them how to eat healthier, but also enjoy more food freedom, to not be so stressed and overwhelmed. And then it's divided into three parts as well. So the first part goes into relationship with food and relationship with your body, because I really believe that's the cornerstone of people's health and how they approach eating. And if you have really bad body image, like you just don't feel good and you feel like I'll only be happier if I lose weight or if I do this or that, it can absolutely extend to how we eat. It can make us put more pressure on eating. Every meal becomes, is this going to help me lose weight or is this going to make me gain weight? Is this fattening or is this safe for me? So every meal can become this like black or white thing. And it's just not that dichotomous. We know that nutrition is not that dichotomous. So the first part goes into that. And then I go into these eating archetypes. So I kind of explain how people can fit into these four different eating personas or archetypes, the dependent eater, the erratic eater, the judgmental eater, and the obsessive eater. Hmm. And it gives people characteristics that they can identify with. And you might find you relate to several.
Dependent.
So it's the depend. So the first one is the erratic eater. This is someone who might not eat as much when they're stressed. They might go all day without eating or grab and go. They might only might actually sit down to one meal a day sometimes. And usually it's only socially. So eating is just a little bit, I would say very minimally structured, if at all. And under stress, they might find that they eat very little, but then of course, once they are relaxed and home, the floodgates open.
That sounds like me. And then it's the other one.
The other one is the dependent eater who might do the opposite or may do the opposite of the erratic eater. They might use food more for stress. Food might be more of a focal point. It's their one reward they have. It's more comforting. So they might deal more with emotional eating. Okay. So they might be grabbing more things, doing it all throughout the day, maybe mindlessly even, you know, and both can fall under the mindless eating category. Where they're eating and not necessarily fully aware of why they're eating or how much they're eating or what they're eating. It's just kind of, they're just so used to it. Right. And then the judgmental eater is the person that might have been on a lot of diets. They're like my cereal dieter. They just go from one to the other. And each time they do, they pick up these food rules, all these rules around food. This is good. This is bad. I'm not allowed to have that. I'm not allowed to have that. And then it can be projected onto people around them. We all know there's like people who can police food and they mean well, and they have good intentions and they're trying to help their loved ones. Some people do it in a constructive way. Some people are just purely judgmental and negative about it, but mostly the problem is they're doing it with themselves all the time. I'm not allowed to eat that. That's good. So for them, they definitely are very detached from their body. There's very little mind-body connection. They might find that they're all or nothing. I'm all on a diet or I'm all off and that's it. And the moment I have one thing that's not approved, everything unravels, derails, and I might as well keep going and just double down on this. And for them, of course, it's problematic because they might never really find their healthy weight if they're so in their head and they've internalized these diets as hardcore beliefs and they're not truly listening to their body. And then the final one is where my big disclaimer comes in, because the reality is anytime you put weight loss or anything nutrition or healthy eating on a book cover, we have to acknowledge that their low-hanging fruit are people that might have more disordered eating and eating disorders. Mm-hmm. And so the obsessive eater is the most at risk. And this is not intended to diagnose anybody, doesn't substitute any medical professional help, but it's the most at risk for developing an eating disorder. And definitely it is considered distorted and disordered eating. So for them, they might want to be really careful. I do explain that it's just if you spend an exorbitant, copious amount of time dwelling, thinking about food, looking up food labels, worrying about what you're eating, feeling guilty, ruminating, all of those things where it really consumes your life. We need intervention, full stop. And I even put in there, look, you can continue through the book because it's written, or at least I intended to write it in a way that could help to improve anyone's view of food and improve the relationship with food. But I still recommend to work on that and understand that that's problematic.
How do you deal with having clients in the beautiful city of New York that are the skinny ones that are just like so fixated on not, I mean, in California, my daughter went to high school where they had the ice and rice diet and all this.
Oh, I've never heard of that. That's a new one. Okay.
Ice and rice. Yeah. That's one of those private school, you know, rich girl diets. And New York is full of these rich girls. Uh-huh. eat. And there's been so much controversy about some various nutritional types in New York City recommending fiber crackers, this and that kind of thing. So I'm just wondering, how do you deal with having this population of high maintenance, very super self-critical women who, for societal reasons, need to have the look of, super,
Yeah.
super skinny? Like,
It is hard. It is hard because
don't eat healthy, they just don't eat.
they a lot of time, right? It's not health. They prioritize physical appearance over physical health and definitely over mental health. It's skinny at all costs. I have to look a certain way. I have to keep up. I have to fit in. I have to do this and that. And yes, you're right. People here too have the resources to do that. They'll go to all lengths and any end they can go to achieve that. And they do end up in my doorstep, of course, because I'm in New York City, and they do show signs of dysfunctional, disordered eating, but sometimes they're ready to, they get it. And you're right. I know it's not good. And I do have a fair share of those. And now at this point, I have a lot more people finding me because they know that's my specialty is working on relationship with food, but I don't shun weight loss either. But there's a fair share who don't want to hear it and they're not ready and they just will never be ready. And when you say things like intuitive eating to them, they're like, what? Like that's ridiculous. Like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to gain weight. It doesn't make any sense to me. And there's some, in some ways, intuitive eating doesn't work for everybody. And it is a privilege and a luxury because not everyone has access to whatever food they want to eat whenever their body is asking for it. But for them, it is there, it's much, a much tougher nut to crack. And there's a lot more work that has to be done. And I often will take the stance of, I get it. You know what? You're not ready to do this. You want to lose weight. You think it'll be happier. You'll be happier that way. So sometimes I'll even say, let's try it out. Let's see what happens. Let's see if your body is actually willing to lose more weight, even though I've told you you're at the lowest weight I think is healthy for you. And losing more weight could just mean losing muscle and bones breaking down, but they want to do it. And so I'll say to them, okay, fine. And then there's times where I have to really put my foot down if I know that it's really unhealthy. And we have to just, we're either at an impasse or I have to just, they keep coming back because they need the reminders. They still find their way back because as much as they don't want to admit it, they know there is a problem and they know they're not healthy living that way. And so they'll come in, I want to lose weight, and I'll say, okay, fine. I know you want to lose weight. That's okay. You're allowed to want to be skinny, or you're allowed to want to be richer. You're allowed to want to be blonder. You're allowed to want to be, have better skin. Like all of those things are okay. But when it starts to affect your mental and physical health, that's when, it's not okay. And I've often am like a broken record, but some people really need that because if they're not getting it from me, they're not getting it from anywhere. And they're in these social circles where it's very normalized. It's almost normalized to have disordered eating. It's
It
like,
really
and
is.
it
It's
is, it's normal. And it's like applauded.
I see
Wow, you're so
patients
good.
who are,
Yeah.
yeah. And but
Yeah.
the thing is, it's definitely not about health because then they binge eat, then they definitely
Yes.
factor wine and alcohol into everything they do. So they'll
Yes.
sacrifice nutrition, calories, and eating in order to just be great at parties,
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's sad. What about semaglutide shots? Tell me your thoughts on that. That's running around
Oh,
society
yeah.
right now, and I actually
Such a
lost.
trend. Yeah.
Yeah, personally
I
lost
was.
some weight on a semaglutide shot and found it to be very effective.
Yeah. And this is how I feel about it. Like everything else, like with diets, there are people that it works and it really helps them. And that's great. And they feel better. They feel healthier. This is the way I think it could be positive. This is how I explain it. Someone was dealing with depression and they walked into their, psychiatrist's office. The psychiatrist would say, okay, I'll prescribe an antidepressant, but I want you to go meet with a therapist and also talk about it and talk about ways and strategies to manage your mood and things you can do and kind of work through all those negative emotions. So it's similar. You can take a medication that could help you lose weight as long as you're still working on your relationship with food, creating good behave positive behavioral changes, working with a dietitian, maybe a personal trainer, maybe also a therapist, the trifecta, it's a really good team, but a personal trainer who understands how to make sure you have a good relationship with exercise and then work through it. And you can have that medication to help push things along as long as you're working on everything else. And then eventually you can hopefully get off of it, but still have the skill of knowing how to eat for your body that you've learned along the way. Because there are people that feel so frustrated, so discouraged. They have tried a lot, or so in their own way. You know, they just keep getting in their own way, whether it's just that all or nothing mentality of, oh, I just had pancakes for breakfast, so I just, the rest of the day is ruined and there's nothing else I can do, or Thanksgiving was a few weeks ago, or Christmas is coming up, and you know, all these holidays that are food focused and food centered really throws them off their track. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard not to get back on the diet, but to get back mentally. It's so hard mentally to get back.
Right.
So this offers them a little bit of hope, like, okay, you know, it is helping. We know it's actually helping them lose weight, but even mentally, it can give them a little bit of that. Okay, I'm doing this and I know it's going to help me. And, you know, I'm back in a place where I want to make other, it makes them motivated to do other things. So I'm not against it. I think, of course, we still have to screen and make sure there's proper people are getting a hold of it and getting prescriptions, but you know, and I've seen them go wrong, and I've had clients on Ozempic, and you know, and they stop losing weight, or they, you know, it gets too expensive, or they do have side effects, like really bad GI side effects, and they have to stop, and they get really frustrated and discouraged by it. So, you know, but that's okay. Then that's why it's important to have a team in place that can pick them up and get them back on the right foot.
Any top behavioral tips in terms of eating right or dieting or just kind of watching what you do? I mean, I sometimes think behaviors form these habits that help us to stay on track. Like, you know, I'm going to have dessert, but I'll only have the three bite rule, you know?
Yeah.
And then I won't feel deprived. Do you have any tips and tricks like that?
Yeah. I mean, I would say, first of all, always thinking, my little motto is, when you can't decide between this or that, just remember protein, carbs, and fat, you know, just trying to think of those three different elements, the lean protein, the fiber rich carbs, and the anti-inflammatory fats, as much as you can. Focusing on what to add into your meal as opposed to what to subtract is a much healthier mindset. I'm a big, huge fan of food journaling for so many reasons, mostly because it's free and everybody can do it anywhere you are. And it really just helps with that self-awareness and mindfulness, because a lot of times we just lack those entirely. When we have busy schedules, we're parents, we have other obligations, social calendars filling up, and work up, all these things that happen in life, living life, it is really hard to just be aware and mindful all the time. And other things too, not just food. There's other things too that we want to be aware of. So the journaling can really help to remind us and show us what we're actually doing. Whenever I have a client that comes into me, the first question I always say is, you know, well, not, I wouldn't say the first one, but it's absolutely the first appointment we have, I always ask them, tell me about your eating habits. I want to know from your perspective how you feel like you eat. What's a breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Is there snacking? What's the weekends look like? Tell me about ordering in versus eating out or cooking at home. And we'll go through all that. And what's always interesting to me is what they tell me that they eat is almost never what exactly what they're eating. Once we do the food journals. And so that right there always proves to me that the journaling has so much power, because we either think we do better than we do. Sometimes we think we're eating less than we are. Sometimes we think we're eating more than we are. People are like, you know, I'm eating all of this and I don't, you know, and I don't know what to do. And then I look at it and I'm like, look, you're actually doing better than you think. There's also the power of the accountability. You know, when they're writing it down and they're showing someone or looking at it themselves, they're more honest and accountable to themselves and to somebody else. So that is also why it can be really helpful. But I just think there's so much change that could happen just from writing things down in some way, some documentation. I would also say, whenever you can, there's always the planning ahead can be really helpful. I also tell a lot of my clients who struggle with getting vegetables every day and even fruit, do one smoothie a day. One smoothie, it takes a few seconds. There's no cooking required. It's an easy setup and cleanup. There's no excuses. Put an avocado, half an avocado, spinach, zucchini, even frozen broccoli, cauliflower, some berries. Blueberries are great, full of antioxidants and fiber and vitamin C. I love berries. And a protein powder or a Greek yogurt for probiotics. And am I forgetting anything else? No, fat, a protein, a vegetable, and a fruit. That's it. Those four things into a smoothie. And then you can feel so good that you checked off so many boxes and you didn't take any time at all. And you didn't have to sit down for an hour for lunch. You can drink it as a lunch or have it as a quick breakfast. So that's something I encourage a lot of my clients to do that struggle with time, you know, and which is most people. So that's a really good behavior change. And then people can go the extra if they want to do the extra stuff. They can put the collagen in and they can put the green powders in and they can do, I don't think they need that per se, but if you want to, you could always throw that in as well.
Yeah. I think that's great advice. I love that. Easy to do, right? We can all
so easy.
Yeah. Well, I think this is so fascinating. Where can people buy or find the Core 3 diet?
Yeah. So they can find it any major retailers, Amazon, Barnes and Noble, Target, Walmart. You could also go to my website, which is nynutritiongroup.com, and you can order it directly from there. I do sign it if you order from me. And then you can also check out my practice. We take most major health insurance plans. We offer virtual and in-person sessions, and we have 15 dietitians. So we have a very wide variety of specialty areas, anything from hormones, PCOS, thyroid, to eating disorders, to sports nutrition, fertility, pediatrics. So pretty much try to cover it all if we can.
That's right. Well, you are what you eat. You have to develop who that is.
Yes, that's right. And it's always important to have a specialist, someone that really understands, you know, where you're coming from.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I know all of our listeners, the new year is coming. We all want to do better for ourselves. So I just wanted to start motivating people with ideas. And I love this Core 3. It's so simplified and it's such a great approach to every meal, basically.
Thank you.
So awesome. That's it for now, guys. Don't forget to find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, DRKAY, doing amazing things with people's faces. And our website is the same, beautybydrk.com. I actually have an amazing collagen powder that you can add to your smoothies and coffee, an easy way to add protein, which keeps you satiated and you eat a lot less calories when you front load with protein. And
agreed.
That's so true. That's it for now. Stay beautiful, eat healthy, be mindful. Love you guys. Stay beautiful.